Hello, my beautiful biscuit babies. How are y'all doing? I'm doing good, and I'm doing well and good because I use a sensory deprivation tank at Lucid Float Spas in Mount Vernon, Ohio. That is a sensory deprivation tank, isolation tank, aka the best fucking thing you can do in your life. Go see Chad at Lucid Float Spas in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Get a massage, take a float, feel better, guaranteed. Also guaranteed to make you feel better is Receptra CBD Oil, who has partnered up with ParkersPlatoon.org, a nonprofit organization to help out veterans coming home and assimilating back to civilian life. CBD Oil helps you with inflammation of the brain, bones, joints, arthritis, stress, anxiety. It's all natural. And this particular CBD oil is made of all the best parts of the hemp plant. None of that bullshit. Seeds, stems, stalks. Go to ParkersPlatoon.org. Buy you some CBD oil. Buy you some topical cream. Or just go donate. We have a very special guest today. I'm very excited. The Beard from All Beard No Teeth. You know him, the Twitter handle. The man behind the beard is on today, and I'm going to get him to tell you fucks his favorite NHL team. He swore up and down for years he wouldn't do it. I broke him. I knew I would. This is big. This is big time. I'm sure you guys follow his writing, the hockey writers. He covers the New Jersey Devils. A lot of you people on the internet are betting that that's his favorite team. I think it's a curveball. I think he likes the Devils, but I don't think it's his favorite team. I think as a writer, he chose the Devils to give him a non-objective team to write about. But we'll find out. That and much more. Enjoy.
Now Probert got the right-hand free. He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt!
It's old-time hockey.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! That goal regulation size of one!
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on Sabbath's fucking can.
Hi everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man.
All right, biscuit babies, the moment you all have been waiting for, a long time coming, the man, the beard. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Well, first things first, I owe you this right here.
That's the sound I was waiting for, man.
You know, I had forgotten that the last time we were on that I didn't drink beer on it. And like you said the other day when we were talking, you know, it's heresy.
It's, man, I swear to God, like, I was just listening to, I listened to pretty much every single episode you got, man.
Thank you.
It's, I'm like, he's drinking with all these guys, and I'm the Irish guy, and he hasn't shared a beer with me.
Yeah, the one guy I should be drinking with, I didn't do it.
Yeah, I'm like, not to kind of like fuel the stereotypes, but you know, that's kind of offensive to me.
Oh no, truly, and you know, sometimes stereotypes are true.
Yeah. I'll give you that one anyway.
Hell yeah,
no, man. But honestly, man, thanks so much for having me on again.
Absolutely, dude. Everybody's really excited. How's everything going over there in Ireland?
Yeah, not bad. It's a bit of a whirlwind at the moment. Like, it's, you know, it's cold as whatever you want it to be over here, but it's nothing compared to what I'm about to be in, like, 2.5 weeks. My cousin lives in Long Island, and he literally just sent me all these videos and pictures of snow.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, all right, so it's about to be colder is what you're going to tell me.
Does it snow in Ireland?
Absolutely not, man. And that's, like, honestly one of the big things I'm looking forward to over the States. Like, I haven't seen snow, and I'd say in about 8 or 9 years. And like, now granted, I lived in Australia for close to 3 years, so it doesn't snow much over there, I'll tell you that much.
But right.
Yeah, like, it's, no, we don't get half the kind of weather you guys get.
That's one of the beauties of living in Ohio. I mean, we get like we got like 5 inches of snow just last night, but then like in the summer it's fucking blistering hot, and spring and fall. I really enjoy having all the seasons. I think it's good to it's good for your brain and good for your body just to see all that shit and experience the extremes in the weather.
Oh, for sure. And they're like, seasons are actual seasons, you know, like it's exactly. Summer's gonna be hot, winter's gonna be cold, and it's like, man, we had like sun here and early December, and I'm like, no, it should be snowing.
Yeah,
exactly. Miserable.
Exactly. That's what I always say. People in Ohio go, well, I don't like the snow. A simple solution. Get the fuck out of here then.
Yeah, you don't like it, leave.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
We don't need you. Well, I did see you tweeted out the other day that some Irishmen there, you know, it was so cold that they were actually playing on an outdoor rink there.
Yeah, so like I'm sure, kind of like as most people who kind of follow me these days, I'm really kind of working with the IIHA to try like kind of bring awareness to the fact that like our kind of government won't, you know, build a rink and has kind of stopped every kind of effort to build a rink. So it causes like, you know, all the kind of young guys, the young kids who are really interested in the sport, they have to like go to a different sport, or in some cases actually they emigrate to go play the sport. So we had a few kids kind of go over to play in Canada for 6 months, and then they really get a taste of hockey, and then they come back, and it's all kind of like, if you're playing for a team, all your training is on skates, or sorry, not skates, like blades,
yeah,
like inline row liners and so on. If they want to play, they got to go up north to Belfast, and basically the only time you can play is kind of from 10 o'clock at night, proper beer league hours.
Yeah,
but like, these are kids, you know, these are like, you know, under 10s, under 12s, or under 8s even, like,
yeah.
So you can't really, you know, it's not right to have kids up that late, you know, just want to play the game they love, you know. So, yeah, like we had this picture from, I think it was back 2010, and it was, just this frozen lake up in Dundalk, which is just north of Dublin. And yeah, like it's a scene that you think is from like Canada or the States somewhere.
For sure.
And yeah, it's full on from Ireland. Just these kids laced up and kind of just played some pond hockey. Like, incredible.
So Dublin doesn't have a rink in the city?
No, and the really frustrating thing, man, is every Christmas they build these pop-up rinks where people can just go skate.
Yeah.
But like you can't play hockey on them.
Oh, dude, same thing here. I live in a very small village, like 2,000 people. And so we have a rink downtown. And when I was younger, we were allowed to play hockey there. You know, and people just pretty much stayed out of the fucking way because we would play, you know, with a real puck. And then unfortunately, a kid took a fucking puck to the face, you know, and his parents, you know, threatened to sue. So it's been banned ever since I was like in eighth grade. I need to go down there and take I need to go down and take a picture of the no hockey sign and put it up on Twitter, though. It's actually Big Rand and I have been walking home from the bar before, and several times during the winter, Big Rand has ripped that sign out of the ground and threw it into the threw it into the street.
See, this is why I'm a huge campaigner for Don't Fire Big Rand.
That's one of his best moments ever. He just gets so fucking outraged when he sees that sign and it's coming out of the ground, especially when he's had a few Labatts in him.
Oh, that's awesome.
It seems properly fucked that, you know, the Dublin's the capital of Ireland, right?
Yep, 100%.
Why wouldn't the capital city have... do they have any reason for not wanting to put a rink in, or just because it's expensive, or they just go, you know, drive to Belfast?
I really don't know the actual main answer. And I get that, you know, hockey's not really a sport in Ireland. Like, I've followed hockey for, you know, 20 years, and it was like 20 years ago, it was even less in the sport than it is now.
Right.
But, you know, you drive an hour north and there's a professional hockey team there, you know, so I don't understand kind of, you know, straight away, like if Dublin had a team, that's an instant rivalry between Dublin and Belfast.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And I was like, so, you know, like that itself is going to, you know, pump money back into it. But honestly, the thing that really bothers me is, as I said, just like all the kids who want to play the game, who are deterred away from it because they can't play it, you know? And I just, you know, like there's there's places that a rink can be built, and they've gotten kind of the approval, and they've gotten people who want to back it and fund it. And then basically when it comes up to the people who say yes or no, they just say no, but don't give a proper reason as to why they say no.
And you'd have to think that the tourism alone to Dublin, you know, can fill seats in the goddamn place. And, you know, the same thing can be said for Ohio hockey. When I was a kid, you know, in school, there was 8 kids that maybe knew about the game. And now, you know, high schools all over the state are, you know, incorporating hockey programs. But when I was little, there was no shot at it. You didn't, if you wanted to play, you went out and played, you know, at the rink downtown or on a pond. But there was no aspiration or dreams to do anything besides that because it wasn't available. And if there's one thing that, you know, Irish people are, they're very passionate people. I mean, I know he's not your favorite human, but look at the support that Conor McGregor gets. You know, even before he was the $100 million man, before he's the $100 million man, people were flying from Ireland to come to Las Vegas to watch that fucker fight before anybody knew who he was.
Yeah, true.
So
it's quite bizarre, like, you know, and we do get, like, especially in Dublin, like, we get a lot of kind of tourists from all over the world, but a lot of people from the States and Canada do come over.
For sure.
And you know that 100% they're going to want to check out what the hockey scene is like, if they're hockey fans, even, like, I was down in Galway probably about 6 months ago, and we met these people from Boston, and they were huge football fans. And we were watching, you know, I'm a Ravens guy.
Go Bengals, you're a Bengals, go Bengals. Guy.
We don't get along in football. But, so I was there in my Ravens jersey, and this guy came up. And, of course, he's a Patriots fan, and, you know, he's from Boston. That's fine.
Oh, yeah.
But the Ravens were having an awful, awful game, so I wasn't really the happiest person, I'll tell you that much. But we just started talking football, and he started talking about the Bruins, and I told him, you know, about All Beard, No Teeth, and he couldn't get over that, you know, people love hockey as much as they do, but it's just not recognized at all.
Yeah.
He couldn't understand that.
It'll happen. I mean, and guys like you are very important to your country to keep that ball rolling. And, you know, I think even yourself, you started it from, you know, liking NHL 94 or whatever it might have been, and kids get interested in the video game, then you start playing. And the more eyes you get on the game, it's really hard not to fall in love with hockey once you start watching it and following it. And even with the success of, you know, Belfast is, you know, even more reason for Dublin to look into it. And I really think – I mean, I really hope that they, you know, do get a team and that the EIHL keeps expanding. And you get a team in the capital city like that, and you – I mean – I know plenty of people from America that have gone to Dublin. My fucking grandma's been there, you know, and she'd check out a hockey game if she was over there.
Awesome. Sweet. Yeah, and, like, it's just insane. If I had said to you 20 years ago I was watching hockey, I can guarantee that not one single person watched the game with me.
Yeah.
But now, like, I've tweeted out pictures where I have loads of my buddies around and we're watching games. And everyone, like, it's a case that I don't have to force people to get into the sport. I literally stick it on, and within minutes, people are hooked because it is an entertaining game. Like, it's the same. It's, you know, like, we have Gaelic and hurling. Like, it's a fast-paced game, and people love fast-paced sports.
Yeah.
And if you can kind of get, if you can just get into it, if it's tolerable, like, you know, people are going to watch it, it's no problem. And, you know, there's nothing better than being at the actual game. So,
yeah,
if we had it one day, I really hope we do. But as you said, it involves people like myself just kind of making sure that we're kind of being heard and just don't let it slide, you know?
Exactly. And I always tell people that too. They go, you know, I've tried to watch hockey on TV, and I'm like, listen, I don't want to hear that argument. You have to go to a game. If you go to a hockey game and then you don't like it, fine, it's not for you. But anybody that's ever been to a hockey game and been in the rink and, you know, felt the cold from the ice and, you know, heard the boards or, you know, saw a fight, every person I've ever talked to that has gone and actually experienced that loves the game, or at least respects the game.
Yeah.
So 100%. And I've already got a team name for Dublin. It's Dublin, the Dublin Brawlers, man. Sold. I'm the team
owner. Yeah, that rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
I love it, dude. I love it. You get a drunk Irishman on the sweater there, and it's perfect. You get Guinness to sponsor him.
I reckon Guinness would be all over it as well.
Oh,
I reckon
they'd
have to sponsor them.
they'd have to. Well, I know you mentioned...
Dublin Brawlers.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you. It's copyrighted the biscuit.
I'm like, one of my buddies is the president of the IIHA, like the Irish Ice Hockey Association. I'm 100% going to say that to him.
Fucking A, man. Now, I know you mentioned, you know, you have some of your blokes over to, you know, watch games and... I think the last picture I saw of you guys was, I think it was the, you threw a party for the Winter Classic.
Yeah, for sure. So it's kind of this tradition we started, like, well, I think I started it kind of way back when, because I'd watched them all, I watched most of the games, but, like, it was a case of kind of like, yeah, it's an outdoor game, and people are so used to hockey just being an indoor game, so they don't really understand that.
Right.
So, yeah, it was pretty awesome. So we got kind of, I suppose as the years went on, more people wanted to get involved and more people wanted to watch it. And then obviously, like as we said earlier, it's quite an easy game to kind of get into. So obviously the traction kind of grew.
Yeah.
But yeah, like last year, I actually missed the Winter Classic last year for the first year in ever. I was in Australia in this awesome place, but there was no television and no internet, and I lost everything.
Oh.
So I wanted to go big this year, you know.
Well, dude, yeah, I saw the picture and I was like, man, I wish I was there. That looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. Like everyone rocks their own jersey, their own sweater, and you know you're just there to watch it. And everyone comments about it. Like I'm honestly, I have my feelings about the Winter Classic, which I'm sure kind of we'll go into. But yeah, like it's still a cool event to see the game back outside. Anyway,
100%, man. And I imagine your feelings are probably close to mine. It's not the best display of hockey that you can see. But it is that kind of thing where it's almost magical to see it, especially if there's a light dusting of snow. And it's like a fucking – the Super Bowl. It's an event. The game kind of takes the back seat, especially – I don't know if you watched the United States versus Canada outdoor game. But it was like they played in the middle of a fucking blizzard. But then you're thinking like, I just waited a whole year to watch the United States play Canada. I don't think that's the right platform for it in the World Juniors. But when you get like Buffalo versus New York, or I'm really excited about Chicago and Boston next year at Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah,
it's
100%.
It's really the event, and it really, I mean, it's the most people that ever watch a hockey game has been outdoor games. So it's good for the sport. I had a bunch of friends from Michigan that went to that game at the Big House in Ann Arbor where, you know, 110,000 people ended up watching a fucking hockey game. You know, that's good for the sport, needless to say.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's – yeah, I think the Winter Classic, like, the whole idea about it is amazing. And it's one of those things, if you're at it, I'd say it's unbelievable. I'd say it's incredible.
Yeah.
But it does not make good television. Like, it sucks to watch it live. Like, I really, like, I'm so against it.
It gets rough.
Sorry, dude, what did you say?
It gets rough. You definitely have to, like, hammer, like, a six-pack before the game starts so you can kind of ease your way through it. Yeah.
You are crushing beers with the boys for sure, like, but like it this year as well. If they had pushed it back probably an hour or two, I'd say it might have been okay. But the whole first period was in darkness. You know
that what fucking, was that was brutal. There was just like spots of sun, like you said, push the game back an hour, turn the fucking lights on. I mean, it's already cold. It doesn't fucking the sun's not doing that much.
Yeah. But I was screaming at the television, just turn the goddamn lights on.
That first period was dog shit. And I bet they lost a lot of viewers just from that. Except Buffalo's playing, and those fucking animals would watch it if you couldn't see the fucking game. Because they're just the best hockey fans there.
Yeah, they honestly are, man. Like, I've never met people as passionate as Buffalo fans, and that goes across hockey and football. Like, they're just mad.
Dude,
it's awesome. It's really, really cool.
Did you see...
But another thing that really bothered me about the drone camera, that drone camera needs to just go away.
Listen.
It is awful.
Drones need to go away. I swear to fucking God, if one comes into my property, I'm fucking shooting it down. I'll beat the shit out of the kid's dad, whoever's flying it. I don't need that shit in my life. I will fucking – that's a warning to all you fucking nerds in Ohio. If you fly a drone over the Bartram's house, it's getting fucking shot down. We have guns. They will come down.
I think I'll personally fly over and I'll rent one of your guns off you and I'll just take aim at it as well, man. They drive me insane.
Fucking A, buddy.
You know, it works – they use it sparingly in football and it works, you know, when the quarterback hasn't thrown the ball – if they're just kind of overviewing the play.
Yeah.
But hockey moves too fast for a drone. It doesn't work, and it just looks ridiculous.
And I have a weird conspiracy theory about this, too. I think that they're starting to use these drone cameras so that these mass amounts of humans that are watching the games can be like, oh, it's a drone at a football game. That's normal. So then when they start flying over your house, you're just like, oh, it's like I'm Tom Brady. They're watching me. You know? I'm not cool with it at all. And like you said, for the Buffalo fans, I do know that you remember the Bengals beating the Ravens the last game of the year.
Yeah, I think I crushed about 48 beers that night, man.
Well, since that got Buffalo in the playoffs, Buffalo fans ended up sending like $350,000 to Andy Dalton's charity for whatever the fuck it's for.
Wow.
And that's remarkable. Just because that last pass that won the game, they were like, thank you, yeah, God, for ending the drought. So hats off to the people of Buffalo. And then there's all this shit, like, you shouldn't like sports as much as you do. But if, you know, when good like that can come out of it, people need to just shut the fuck up sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. Like, why not use, you know, if you're loud about something, if you're passionate about something, and certainly if you have a fan base, why not use it for some sort of good?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a no-brainer for me.
Well, that's why I had to partner up with Parker's Platoon, because I do so much bad and evil that I needed a good spot. So I thought helping with
man, I can't say enough good things about the Sheriff, man. Like he's just incredible. He was incredible when he played, and he's still incredible. Like now that he's finished running that Parker's Platoon, like being Irish, man, we don't have that kind of whole veteran thing because, you know, Irish people just. We're there for the fun. We don't have an army as such. But, like, so I've kind of read in quite a bit about it. And, man, I've asked him, I want to get that cigar box. 100%, I want that.
Oh, dude, I've been begging my wife, like, just buy it for me. Please, please.
It's awesome. And I'm like, I don't care how much it costs. It's going towards something amazing.
Exactly.
And I get an awesome cigar box from the Sheriff. It's a win-win, man.
And like he says, he's like, there's going to be guaranteed blood on it. And I'm like, fuck yeah, blood from the Sheriff on my cigar box? What else could you want?
Oh, unbelievable.
And I
just want a picture of him holding the cigar box because, you know, his hands are like tree trunks.
his hands are nightmares, dude. They're like... like loaves of bread, like so fucking large. Just crazy. But yeah, he's like a fine wine, man. He gets better every year since he's been out of the league, dude. And the work he's doing with veterans. And my older brother, who was here last night crushing beers, he gets so many beers in him. But at a point, you know, he's like, you know, that Parker's Platoon is fucking great. It's really nice for guys to have something like that. Even if they go meet him, it's like, holy shit, Stanley Cup champion Scott Parker.
Yeah.
Thanks for just saying hi, let alone take me for a fucking snowmobile ride to go ice fishing in the middle of fucking Colorado. Come on.
Yeah, but you know, he has messaged me. I've talked to him, and I'm like, I'm nobody. I'm a guy from Dublin, like, who couldn't be further away, like, you know.
Right.
He's just such a humble person.
Yeah, it's shocking how, like you said, that's a very perfect word to describe him is humble. He's just considers himself a human like everyone else, dude. It's really quite beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome, man.
We got some elite ice hockey league bullshit to talk about, bud. What the fuck is happening over there with our Department of Safety? It's
how much time you got?
Well, I had Dr. Silverwood on again to talk about it, and I'm pretty sure they're going to make that lady go bald if she keeps stressing about this goddamn Department of Safety. But I wanted to talk specifically about Belfast and Sheffield game. Now, the hit – did Fitzgerald hit somebody before Spyro did?
So which one are we talking about? Like, are we talking about the one back in October, or are we talking about the two games that happened like a couple of weeks ago?
The two games a couple weeks ago.
Two teams –
They don't like
each
other.
These two teams, they do not like one another.
not at all. It makes for a fucking... I mean, if you think about the Elite League, they're, in my opinion, you'd be like, well, shit. I mean, you got dudes in Ohio talking about these games. And I've never really paid attention to the Elite League until last season. And now I really enjoy it. But I really am interested in Sheffield versus Belfast when it comes around because it gets fucking violent. But it's
no holds barred, man, you know?
But now it's like – so like, I saw Fitzgerald did hit the dude high. So he's getting ejected, yep. Right? And then he does the fucking jerk off as he's getting kicked out of the game. I thought it was awesome. I loved it. And they didn't go ahead and decide to suspend him after the fact. Like I had read – and then you can tell me more because you live there. But that Belfast had like called in and to complain about him doing the jerk off motion or something like that.
Yeah, like it's kind of the way it works now. It's two different things, like so. Basically, because of all the drama that happened, you know, back in October when there was that whole, you know, alleged kicking incident and so on between the two teams.
Yes.
Like outside of that, they actually removed the head of the Department of Player Safety then, and they brought in, you know, the way they had to get former, he's a former NHL linesman, Lyle Seitz, and basically just an independent team. They reviewed that, and then the league decided that, hey, we'll just outsource to these guys to decide everything. So they actually control everything now. So everything is now kind of, every time there's a, I suppose like a ban or anything like that, it goes towards Lyle and his team, and yeah, they all review it. Now, they're so inconsistent, it's ridiculous.
Yes.
Now, like, so Fitzgerald got, you know, a ban. I think there was a few bans handed out, to be honest. But then, like, Sylvester got a 2-game suspension for abuse of official. But then...
Now, see, I didn't see
know,
that.
You know, like, for other... Oh, it's ridiculous, like, you know. And it's just, now, to be fair, Sylvester, he shouldn't have done what he done. Like, it was basically a hit. Now, a penalty was being called, and you know it was gonna happen, but he decided to charge over to the official and run his mouth, and then he got ejected, and yeah, a 2-game suspension. But like,
so
you know,
wait, did he got a 2-game suspension for verbally abusing the ref, or did he put his hands on him?
Verbally abusing. This is what I mean. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, come on, like. So I think he's done it before, and they're like, he's abused an official, but again, verbally. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know if it deserves a 2-game suspension.
No.
Yes, it deserves something. Maybe a kick in the head from your coach, but yeah. Apart from that.
Yeah, maybe a stern talking to.
A stern talking. Sit him in the corner and give him a good talking to.
Yeah, Jesus. If NHL players were getting 2-game suspensions for verbally abusing the fucking refs, dude, there'd be nobody left in the fucking league.
Yeah.
You watch Sidney Crosby do it.
Unbelievable.
You know?
Can you imagine back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and you were like, can you imagine Sean Avery getting 2 games for verbally abusing someone?
Oh my God, you would have never seen him. You would have never seen him play. He would have never touched
the
fucking ice.
He would have played a game.
Oh my God. Now, I remember, now that you mentioned it, the kicking incident. That was Sheffield and Belfast as well?
Yeah, so...
And that was Spyro,
honestly,
too, wasn't it?
I hated everything about that play. Like, it was just how... So this is the player safety board. Like, they were in charge at this time. But, yeah, so Spyro Galakis, he's hit Colton Freder from behind. Now, it's just a hockey play. Like, there's nothing really too much to deal with.
Right.
Like, yes, it should have been a penalty, but no way a suspension or anything like that.
Exactly.
You know? So, Freder went down. Spiro just played naturally. He went off. He was in the middle. And, like, Freder got up, just saw red, skated full force, lunged at him 2 hands to the back of the head.
Yeah.
And knocked him down on the ice. Now, when Spiro's down on the ice, now I'm not trying to defend Spiro here at all, but like, it's alleged he put his foot out. Now, he did put his foot out, but we don't know if it was, you know, he's trying to defend himself and naturally defend himself, or if he's, you know, attempting to actually kick him. So honestly, I looked at the video probably.
I thought with this whole attempted murder with the kicking shit, it got so out of control. It was, and like you said, nobody's trying to defend anybody here, but it got out of hand. I was like, no, I don't even think it was a kick, to be honest with you.
I don't think it was, but you know, I would be considered a Giants fan now. I will slate the Giants when I need to. You know, if there is a dirty play, I don't like it. But honestly, I think it was more a defensive kind of thing. He's on the ground and the guy's on top of him after, yeah, like punching in the back of his head.
Yeah.
So, you know, then you enter into the whole, is there, you know, a potential concussion going on here? You enter that realm. So, yeah, look, we're never going to get to the answer to that. But he was given originally, Spiro was given like 3 games suspension for that, and Fredder only got 1.
Yes, which was fucking insane.
Oh, mental. Absolutely mental. So, obviously, Twitter went viral, but all eyes were on the Elite League then. And it was only when pressure from, well, I suppose the amount of bad press it was getting, but also it went over to, like, North America and so on, and, like, there was all NHL fans commenting on this.
Yeah, it was all the talk.
It was crazy. Like, from a little game that nobody thought was big over this part of the world, you know? So that's when they brought in Lyle Seitz and the guys, and, yeah, they basically just overturned everything. Spiro's suspension was reduced to 2 games, and Fredder's was increased to 6. So, you know, fair is fair. I think that's spot on. I think that's fine.
Fredder definitely deserved more games than Spiro, which I when I first read that, I was like, well, this is just fucking ludicrous. But now, like, so they just played what earlier in the month, and so the Fitzgerald has the hit, and I didn't see the game live, but the same game, Spiro catches a 1-game suspension too for a hit, and I thought, I thought Fitzgerald's hit was a little, you know, I think both of the hits were game misconduct, get kicked out of the game. I don't think either of them deserved a suspension, and I definitely don't think him having a little bit of a, you know, enforcer attitude, you know, suck my dick as he went off, deserved anything either. It's kind of like, it's like, you know, maybe he shouldn't have done it, but like, to take him out of the game and not pay him for a game, like, just let him get back on the ice and maybe he doesn't do it again. I think the game suspension was like, oh, what the fuck? Why?
Yeah, I think it's a bit harsh. Like, you know, so yeah, his hit wasn't great and Spiro's hit wasn't great. There was a lot of hits in that game that shouldn't have happened. But yeah, like, it's a penalty. You know, you eject him from the game, that's one thing. But then the bans come in and you're like, oh, was it really deserving?
Right.
But come on, like, yeah, he's, you know, he's taunting to the fans. But, you know, he's supposed to be a villain, you know. So exactly. He's supposed to taunt to the fans.
He's a heel.
Like, yeah, like, even way back when, Aaron Asham fought for the Pens and he knocked the guy out and he imitated going to sleep. Did he offend Insomniacs? Like, you know, like, how soft are you going to be then?
I'm sure he did, actually. If it was 2017 and he did it, yeah, I'm sure he offended transgender people who can't sleep. Now, during that last game, was Fitzgerald's hit first and then Galakis responded with his hit, or was it the other way around?
I think it was the other way around. Okay. Now, I could be wrong. I was looking at a lot of their footage recently, but it's kind of all wedged into one in my mind, you know.
And these teams don't like each other.
I think it was kind of a tit-for-tat thing.
Yeah, these teams don't like each other, and it's not a bad thing for the sport for two teams to hate each other. I mean, there's a ton of people. I mean, half of my family is from Michigan, and they think back fondly of, you know, Colorado versus Detroit in the late 90s, like bloodbaths.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, that was awesome. That was fucking fantastic. So it's not a bad thing to have a rivalry.
For sure. Like, but there's a limit though, and this is where I kind of shouted up about it when the Steelers and the Giants were playing. Like, the fans, this is the one thing that really bothers me, because the fans just were, you know, attacking one another. Like, now I don't mean physically, but yeah. You know, basically cyber trolling, if you will. I won't say bullying because it's two rivals, you know. But
oh, and yeah, also like it's the word bullying is banned from the Biscuit Podcast.
Yeah, because it doesn't exist, right? No, like, but it's a case. Look, yeah, a rivalry is fine, and it, you know, hatreds of teams is fine. But let the players settle that. There's nothing for the fans to do. Like, yeah, the games happen, but once the game ends, just have a beer with the guy. Like, it doesn't matter, you know?
That's one thing that gets that makes me sad is the violence that can happen in crowds. I have personally been to, you know, I went to Joe Luce Arena twice wearing fucking Blue Jackets shit. And I was, you know, I didn't experience anything terrible. I mean, they were like, you know, fuck you, you lost or whatever, because the Blue Jackets did end up losing.
Yeah, you get chirps.
But that's fine. There's that line, though, where these guys, when you start brutalizing fans from the opposition, I mean, come on, man. Like, I bought a ticket, you bought a ticket. I'm not trying to fuck your wife. I just want to watch the game and fucking go home.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's, you know, it's that soccer attitude, you know, where it's just like, oh, you want to physically hurt this person. I'm like, nah, hockey's not about that. I'm like, you leave it on the ice. No matter what team it is, they still shake hands at the end of the day, you know. So I'm just like, nah, I don't buy into that at all, man. Like, it doesn't belong.
No, a perfect story is the wife and I went and watched opening weekend last year, Blue Jackets versus San Jose. The Blue Jackets lose the game. We're leaving, and there's he's a young kid. He's got his fucking Sharks flag. He's leaving the arena, and everybody has to walk to the parking garage. There's no, like, outdoor parking from the arena or whatever. And he's chirping everybody, talking shit, and I'm chirping him back. And then, like, some Blue Jackets fans, like, want to get physical with the kid. And I'm like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, I'll call the kid a bag of shit and fucking tell him he's worthless, and I'll fucking But when you cry, like, you're going to beat this 17-year-old up because he likes the Sharks? Get the fuck out of here.
That sucks, man. Like,
so I told the kid, I was like, listen, you're a piece of shit. Get the fuck out of here. But you Blue Jackets fans, like, I'm going to have to fight a fucking fellow Blue Jackets fan because you're trying to beat up a kid?
Yeah.
And I'll give you the warning.
I'm all for chirping, but once it comes to violence, you're like, there's no need, man.
And I'm a big boy. You can say whatever you want to me, but it's fine. I've been in fist fights. Let's not take it to there. Like, who wants to get hit in the face? You know, let's leave the game, call him a fucking douche, and get on with it.
And move on.
Yeah, man. There's another suspension. I think it's Jamlin. Got 3 games against Belfast. It was a little bit too much, but I think the 3 games, it just seems like their suspensions are maybe 1 or 2 games more than they should be. And but then I'm thinking too, like, are they liking that a lot of the attention that the league, and at least as an American that I've seen, is coming from these outlandish suspensions?
Yeah, like, it's kind of the league's getting recognized for the wrong reasons, right, which sucks.
Yeah.
Like, but, yeah, like, there's just the thing that it bothers me, like, that there's just no sort of consistency whatsoever. And, yeah, they're throwing out 1 game, 2 game, 3 games. And you're like, as you said, man, it should be 1 less or 2 less. You know, there's no real reason as to why it's kind of that much. But it's yeah, like, it's specifically with those 2 teams. Like, yeah, it does happen with other teams, but not to the extent. You know, you never get multiple suspensions coming from 1 game in the Elite League unless it's kind of the Steelers-Giants. Maybe there's another rivalry, but there's certainly not as much, not as intense now, as the Steelers-Giants.
Where is Sheffield?
So, Sheffield itself, so it's in England, obviously.
Uh-oh.
But, yeah, like, so yeah, so it's a little bit away, you know. So, like, I don't understand why it's Belfast Sheffield as the rivalry? I really don't.
Well, no.
Because I've followed the NHL for 20 years, but I've only followed the Elite League for probably about 10. So I don't know the full kind of histories behind it, you know. So I don't understand where the kind of intense rivalry has come from.
Well, I think
but I can certainly tell you. Sorry, dude.
I think I recall you talking about English people before, so maybe that's where it comes from.
Yeah, like, so I honestly, like, some of my best friends are English, like, you know, but the whole Ireland England thing, you know, we've had a bit of a decorated past, but, you know, I'd like to think
a little bit.
Now, but maybe I'm not the best person to ask about that. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. We're all friends. We're all friends. But, like, Sheffield is pretty much bang right in the middle of kind of England.
Yeah, you know, so sometimes it's maybe some of these dudes that played had shit before, and that's how it. I mean, sometimes it just happens that way, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe there was a player way back when, and they kind of set it off, and now he became one of their coaches, and he kind of installed that mantra. So yeah, you really don't know.
Now, has anybody asked any of the players like why? Is there this specific hatred towards Belfast or Steelers or the other way around?
I'd say they probably have, but you know the way hockey players like to give that fairly professional answer?
Oh, God, dude. There's no...
I don't. So maybe you'd have to go to, like, maybe a retired player. Maybe Brian McGrattan might share his thoughts on kind of the rivalry, because he played for Nottingham. So maybe he or Cam Jansen, one of those tough guys who left.
Yeah, like, or Westgrath spent some time in Belfast,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, Westgrath for sure. Even Bissonnette, Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty, he spent some time in the Elite League as well. So, yeah, like maybe those are the guys maybe to ask what is going on behind the locker room doors.
Get on it, Twitter. Ask them, babies.
Yeah. That's it, right? We need everyone to get on this.
Yeah. Now, before we get into playoff talk and all-star talk, I wanted to just see if you had any highlights from the NHL season so far as we're approaching the halfway mark here. If anything has stuck out to you so far in the league this year.
Yeah, like, so a lot has happened this year. Like, it's been a pretty good season. I thought, like, last season was definitely, like, the year of the rookies and so on. But yeah, this year, I think, it's taken a bit different of a turn. The feel-good story of the year, for sure, has been Vegas. Like,
oh, man.
Vegas Golden Knights have been absolutely incredible.
Something else.
I absolutely... Like, even before the expansion draft, you know, people were talking to me, and I'm like, hey, everyone reckons Vegas are finishing bottom of the West. I don't know. I look at these players that are being exposed. I think they're finishing pretty high. Like. So it wouldn't be crazy for them to hit playoffs. Now, as we're speaking right now, they're sitting nice and pretty up the top of the West.
Yeah, they sure fucking are.
So, yeah, Vegas for sure has been the best. Like, how many goaltenders? Like, they basically have 95% of the goalies in the league. And each one of them has been incredible. Like, I remember when they got that kid, what was his name, Legassi?
Yeah.
Like, he was playing, like, a junior game. He was probably still in his, you know, diaper before he got called up.
Well, it's crazy.
He absolutely crushed it.
And, I mean, they made Malcolm Subban comfortable, and all his games before, he looked like an asshole out on the ice. He goes to Vegas and he's 9-2 or some fucking crazy shit, like, just became an elite goalie. Like, they have something going on out there.
I remember, there's something in the water in Vegas for sure. But I remember talking to you, man, about Malcolm Subban, and yeah, he sucked. He was awful.
Terrible.
Like, for the Bruins, like...
Terrible.
Then he was down in Providence, and, you know, he was potentially even worse. Like, you know, he wasn't a good player.
I didn't think you'd see him in the NHL again.
Nah, not a chance. And they trade him, and, oh my, like, lights out. Like, potentially, Fleury take a back seat while we ride this guy. And you're like, but yeah, he was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, at the one point, you had to keep riding the hot hand. So, but, I mean, obviously, it's Fleury's team, and... You look at, and I thought this about Pittsburgh too, when you expose Fleury, you're like, man, I know Matt Murray has two Stanley Cups, but with Fleury without Fleury, there, I don't, and Matt Murray's showing more of it this year. He stays injured. He stays hurt.
It's kind of like it's a worry when a goaltender gets an injury, but Murray seems to be mostly lower body injuries, whereas Fleury was more so concussions and so on. Like both of them are pretty nasty because they're going to take you out for a while, but Murray's their guy, you know, he's a young guy, he's shown he can play. Fleury, to be honest, my best mate will back me up here. I've never really rated Fleury as an elite goalie. He's incredible in the regular season. Don't get me wrong. He is a good goalie. But just once playoff time comes, he is the Washington Capitals. You know, he just shits the bed, like, you know. But, yeah, like it's a case that he shouldn't. He has all the tools. And he's a really nice guy as well. He's a really good guy. He does a lot for the community and so on. But, yeah, just... if they're going to go one of two ways, they're going to protect the younger guy who's going to be there for, you know, the next 10 years rather than the guy who's going to be there for like 4 years.
Right. And I think Vegas, seems to be the story for most people here in the halfway. And the thing to remember is they were given the opportunity to have the best expansion team ever, but they also paid for it. I think was it $650 million or whatever they had paid to get the expansion out there. And there's also the their home record is showing that these guys are going flying into Vegas and having a Vegas good time because they don't lose at home.
Yeah.
They don't. Have you ever?
They barely lose.
No. Yeah, it's true. They barely lose on the road. They're fucking remarkable. Have you ever been to Las Vegas?
No, man. I honestly have never been to the States.
Oh, so, shit.
I've been to Canada, but I just haven't been to the States. So this is all new for me. I followed it for like 20 years, but I get to see it soon, you know? So I'm really going to be – it's going to be a wake-up call and a half. But.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Because we're about the halfway point here, I want to break down the playoffs so far for you and get your feel on some of these teams and what do you expect out of the NHL for the second half of the season here. So you want to start off on the east side or the west side?
Well, I suppose it's closer to me, so we'll go east.
All right. so sitting right now, no surprise, the Metro is – fucking beast mode. So you have Washington in first with 59 points. Columbus barely hanging on in second with 53. Some people say your favorite team, New Jersey, in third with 52. And then the two wild card spots are held by the Metro, too, with the Rangers with 49 and the Canes with 48. And then you have the Atlantic with Tampa Bay, in my opinion, the best team in the league, with 65.
Sure.
And then Boston and Toronto tied with 53. Now, these are the bubble teams I wanted to talk to you about and see if you think any of these guys make their way in. And they're all Metro teams, too, because you have Pittsburgh with 47, Philly with 46, and the Islanders with 46. So those last four spots there for the wild card and even third place in the Metro are a toss-up right now.
Yeah. Like, the Metro's pretty... It's pretty tight this year. Like, I'm always back and forth between what's the kind of toughest division, and it's very much so between the Central and the Metro. But just with the Metro, there's a lot of teams that could be in the playoffs, but perhaps won't be in the playoffs.
Right.
So, I'll certainly give you kind of a kind of the teams I reckon are going to be in the playoffs.
But
the bubble teams are certainly the interesting one.
Right. There's no way Pittsburgh doesn't make it, right?
So, with the Pens, like I said this at the start of the year, and I don't want to tease into Maddie's question that we're going to ask in a while.
Yeah.
the Metro one, them and the Metro, as much as Big Ran has been kind of chirping on about, you know, like them in the second half and stuff, I just really, like, they're struggling. I think, if anything, they're the second wild card spot, if anything.
Okay. I like it.
If I'm completely honest.
Wouldn't hurt my fucking feelings at all.
Now, I know it means nothing to you, man.
Now, I like it too because my first playoff predictions at the beginning of the year, I had New Jersey and Carolina in there, and everybody called me a goddamn moron, made me feel bad, so I changed my mind. Yeah. And they're sitting in there now, and I'm like, well, fuck, I was right.
So I remember that episode, and I think I was on my way to work, and I'm like, yeah, I agree, man. Yeah, for sure. And then you changed it in another episode, and I'm like, no, what are you doing then?
I shouldn't have done it, dude. I'm just going to go back and delete that little bisquick I did. Right, because the whole next couple days, I was like, fuck, I'm so wrong. That's why you always stick to your gut, man. Because I had watched New Jersey play some preseason games, and they just looked fucking like a team. They looked good. They looked like they were all moving together. And I still think that you're going to see Jersey in there. I'm not completely sold on the Rangers. And I'm not completely sold on North Carolina either. If on the bubble teams, I think you would see the Islanders make their way in there over those three teams. Or like you said, maybe Pittsburgh in that second spot.
Yeah, outside of the three teams you named for the Atlantic, so Tampa, Boston, and Toronto, I really don't see any other team progressing from that division. I think it's going to be stacked with the Metro.
Yeah.
So for first wild card spot, it is tough because I do agree with the Isles might make a surge, but I think maybe that belongs to the Rangers, that first wild card spot, and all then right. The second one belongs to the Penguins.
And then you have the top three stay in those top three, whichever order.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to look past the Capitals first, if I'm honest.
They're kind of pulling away a little bit.
Yeah, they're kind of – they're doing what the Capitals normally do, where they race forward with, 20 wins, and then they'll lose for 10 games, and then they'll come back for five. And
then they'll lose to Toronto in the fucking playoffs.
Yeah. So, yeah, I reckon for sure the three teams going from the Metro, as you said, man, are Washington, Columbus, and New Jersey.
I agree, man. And like you said with the Atlantic, I don't – because the team after Toronto is like – I think the Red Wings are up, but it's like the deficit is so much larger.
Oh, it's huge.
They have
12 points.
Yeah, they have like 41 points or something like that. So it's a massive deficit. Yeah. I think it's stacked for the Metro. I think five teams make it from the Metro, and then you have the Atlantic three staying the same as they move forward.
That's what I think, but I don't want to upset Laura. I know she's a big Red Wings fan, so but I did say, to be fair, I did say in my last one, I didn't see them making the playoffs this year.
I had to pick them just so I could sleep in the house.
If you when that snow comes around, you don't want to be outside.
No, she's actually in the house right now. I'm out in the studio, so she's watching the Wings and the Penguins play right now. I'm not sure what the score is, but the rest of the day will decide on what happens once I get back in there, what the score is. So for the west side, we got out of the Central. They got it stacked like the Metro, like you said, maybe the best two divisions in the league. Winnipeg with 59, and Winnipeg's kind of that story where they had all the players and the pieces, but they haven't been able to put it together, and they're finally doing it. So they have the 59.
Yeah, all it took was getting your boy Steve Mason to come and sit on the bench, man.
Oh, fuck off, dude! God. Maybe, I mean, as long as he stays off the ice, maybe he's all right, dude.
Oh man, I honestly looked that up, and like he's sitting nice and pretty on goalie wins with three.
And I absolutely love Connor Hellebuyck, an American boy, American goalie up there. He wasn't supposed to be their guy this year. It was supposed to be Steve Mason, and Steve Mason started with maybe one of the worst goalie performances ever in an opening game, and then Hellebuyck just came in, and he's been stellar, in my opinion.
But I think, the Jets finally gave him a chance. For so long it was split between Hellebuyck and Hutchinson, and I'm like, which is your guy? And they went with Hutchinson for a while, and I'm like, nah, Hellebuyck is clearly the guy.
Yeah.
But you're not giving them the confidence. And with goalies, like, you need to back them. Like, you know, they're not going to feel comfortable if you don't trust them.
Well, they had Pavlik last year, too. They still, you said, they never gave him the keys to the fucking car. And now it's kind of that way. And like you said, his confidence, it is something that can't be measured and something that does affect especially a goalie.
And it's, they went out and paid big money for Mason, but Mason tanked.
Yeah.
And, yeah. they've given it to Hellebuck, and man, he's ran with it. Man, like, who, incredible.
Who would have thought Mason was going to tank?
Yeah, I know. But, you know, he had that one glorious season where he won the Calder, and then since then.
Oh, yeah. I remember him being in Columbus being like, this is our fucking guy. Fuck yeah. And then just watched him. Just watched him turn into Steve Mason. I was like, oh, my God, dude. What the fuck? Nashville.
It's just like, this kid is incredible.
Yeah, he was so good. He was so good. That was it. He peaked and that was it. Nashville sits in second with 56. St. Louis with 55. And then the two wild cards belong to the Central, as I mentioned, with Dallas with 51 and the barely Blackhawks with 50. Then over in the Pacific, you have Vegas murdering it with 60. The surprising Kings, to me, 53, and then Calgary rounding off in third with 52. Nashville's better than I thought they were. Nashville's legit.
Yeah, like Nashville, I think it's just a place where players want to go and play. Like that Stanley Cup run, like, yeah, they didn't get the win, but I think they got so much more. You know, it turned into an actual hockey city. And
I agree.
People love Nashville.
I agree.
So it's going to be quite hard, to be honest, to see them not make the playoffs. So I think they're definitely up there.
Yeah.
Like, if they don't win it, I think, you know, it's a toss-up. I think the Blues, Nashville, and the Jets are 100% getting to the playoffs. I never would have said the Jets would have.
But no, I had
the Jets are incredible.
I had the Jets on the outside looking in. I just, because I had seen them have these guys for so long and not put it together. And
it's finally honestly working. One of my favorite things halfway through is just you know, seeing the likes of the Blackhawks, the likes of the Penguins, the likes of the Ducks, the Sharks, like, they're not leading the league.
Yeah.
There's like other teams that, you know, haven't had a look in. Like, when's the last time you said New Jersey or the Hurricanes were up there?
Right.
And like, or, you know, like, it's incredible, and I love that. Like, it's amazing to see.
It's something you have to love about the NHL. The parity is, I mean, any team, any night, it really is, you know, as cliche as it might be, it really is fucking true.
Yeah. Like, I remember the playoffs last year and watching the Maple Leafs, and I, like, when they lost against the Caps, I was like, you watch these guys, they're going to win a Stanley Cup in the next couple of seasons. I never once said that about the Oilers.
Yeah.
And you can see what the Oilers have this year. Like.
Well, I don't know if you've heard or seen on Canada Twitter that there's certain hockey writers in Canada right now asking for Austin Matthews to be traded, which is fucking just bollocks, dude.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? There's 30 teams that would gladly take him and pay him whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, like, here's an open book. What do you want?
Yeah.
20, 30 million?
I'll give you my children, whatever, man. Now, the bubble teams are interesting in the West. You got Minnesota with 50, the Sharks 48, which the Sharks are on a cusp of, they either get in this year or it's blow-up time. And then Colorado and the Ducks with 47 sitting on the outside. Do you see any of those teams maybe making their way up and in?
So, to be honest, like, from the West, I honestly had a harder time picking the West than I did the East. Like, the teams from the Central I see are the Predators, Blues, and Jets. They're the three that go through for me. From the Pacific, yeah, I think Vegas, the Kings, and 100% I think the Sharks turn around.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And I wouldn't be surprised if I had the West going 4-4 before the season two. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, the Sharks and Calgary both make it and you see Chicago miss and Dallas get that wild card. Because I think Dallas is getting better as the season goes on. And I can't say honestly, the same for Chicago.
If you would have asked me last week, my answer would have been completely different, but I have changed it. I do think on the wild card side of things, I do think the Stars make it, but I also think the Blackhawks make it.
Okay,
I'll tell you why.
Yeah,
because I really wouldn't have put them there. I honestly think the Blackhawks have not been good this year, but like Stan Bowman bent the Coyotes over the other night, and he went out and got Duclair, And don't get me wrong, Duclair is not a franchise guy, but Duclair has a lot of good aspects to his game, you know, and they lost absolutely nothing.
No, because, yeah, Panic has been dead like, in the water. Now, you're going to find out a lot about Duclair and see if his lack of play has been because he was unhappy in Arizona or because he's not that good.
Yeah.
A lot's going to come out about him.
Like his thing is, you know, he's a great player. He's all the tools, but his attitude is a bit off. That's the issue.
He's kind of got that Evander Kane fucking bullshit attitude.
But I think, you know, he's still at that age where they can stop him from turning into an Evander Kane, you know?
And it's the right place to do it.
I can't imagine Stan Bowman or Coach Q allowing this kid to call the shots, you know?
Exactly, man.
So, I think he's going to thrive. Panic, as much as Panic, done well for the Blackhawks, he has that monster contract, which he doesn't really deserve.
Well, yeah, they just freed up $1.7 million.
They just threw money at him, you know? And, you know, like, when you're... Honestly, if your center is Jonathan Toews, like, even if you can barely skate, I'm pretty sure you'll play all right.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So, I don't know. Like, I think just purely for that, now they might have a few other moves, but, like, with that Panic contract, they've freed up some cap space as well, so they might be something interesting to watch as we approach the deadline as well.
Man. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Kane, Evander Kane, finds his way over there. I don't think.
It's not completely out of the question. I honestly thought he was heading towards Vancouver because he has that kind of grit to his game.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I definitely see him heading west anyway.
Yeah, he's definitely leaving Buffalo. That's for sure.
I think it makes sense as well for the Sabres. Like, you know, just cut it loose. You know, he's in a contract year. He's not going to re-sign.
No, exactly. Like, and you can't lose him for nothing.
Like, you know. Yeah, exactly. Whatever you get, no matter what it is, it's better than getting nothing.
Hey, man, I have to piss so hard. Let me pause this and come right back. This is the first time ever. I've crushed three. I have to pee so bad. I'll be right back.
All right, Simon, you crush beers with the beard. You have to go take a pee mid-podcast.
That's what happens. That's what happens when you drink with an Irishman, man. Now, I did go inside. It's 3-1 Pittsburgh, so my day might be ruined.
I think so. I saw the score and I was like, "Well, I'm not going to say that."
Oh yeah, the game's on in the living room, and she has left the living room to go back to one of the kids' rooms. So it's not looking good. Let's
while we're on the topic, this is the first time I've actually spoken to you. But congratulations to yourself and Laura on Lady Beard.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
She's my little. I'm the beard father.
Yeah, you sure are, man.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
That's for goddamn sure, dude. Thank you so much. That means a lot, man.
That's awesome, dude.
Now, for the first
you're
time,
you're starting like a little hockey team over there now, aren't you?
Dude, I'm telling you, you fucking mark my words, dude. I don't know how long it's going to be, but the United States women hockey team in like 18 years, you're going to see about 3 or 4 Bartrams on it.
Awesome. Sounds good, buddy.
Because Big Rand's got a daughter too, Mavis, and Arwen's already playing hockey, and she might be the first woman to just get ejected from games left and right. She's violent as all get up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I love her.
I reckon that she gets that from Laura, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not you, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
So we made history with my piss, and we're also going to make history because we came up with a brilliant idea. I was like, well, you know, why not ask the fans if they've got something they'd like to talk the beard about? So this is for the first time ever on The Biscuit. I've got fan questions, and we hashtag Bearded Biscuit, and I want to thank everybody for
it's brilliant. Well done.
Oh, man, people loved it. I was cracking up. So
I'm raging we didn't come up with it kind of earlier in the week, but
oh, I
love the traction that it got, and you know, people are asking questions. It's awesome.
It blew up quick, and I was like, holy shit, yeah, if we would have had it at the end of the week, there's no way I would have been able to read them all.
We would have been here for 5 hours, I think, for the podcast.
Let's get into these, my man.
Shoot them, man.
Maddie Carlton would like to know, Are the Pens going to get a three-peat? P.S. The beard supports the New Jersey Devils.
So this is my buddy, Matty. He's a good kid from Belfast. Yeah, I definitely, like, he's asked me about this before, and, like, honestly, it's something I said at the start of the season. My best mate, Jamie, is a Pens fan, so I said it to him as well. Big Ran, you may want to close your ears. But, yeah, 100% they don't. Everyone kind of focused on, you know, losing the likes of Fleury and, like, a couple of D-men and stuff has been the issue, but, nah, none of that matters. It's losing that third solid center, like losing Bonino.
Yep.
That's a huge, huge loss. Just don't have that depth down the middle. And when you're going up against other teams in the East, I just don't think they can cut it up.
I think that they didn't put enough emphasis on how much Bonino meant to that team. And like you said, yeah the D-men are whatever, but it really has been that third centerman that has been their Achilles heel.
Yeah, like, let's not forget the HBK line that won it, you know, two seasons ago. Like, you know, Bonino was the core of that. So it was, I remember when he signed for Nashville, like NHL Network or TSN, whoever was interviewing him, and he was sounded like the most bitter person in the world because Pittsburgh basically didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to give him money. And, you know, he's worth money, you know.
He is... He turns into a elite caliber player come playoff time. And he's been fine during the regular season for Pittsburgh. But without him, they don't have those back-to-back cups. No fucking way. He's so crucial when it matters.
I think he caught a puck, and what happened? He fractured his ankle. He broke it in 20 million places, got a few injections, and came back and finished the game. The guy's he's incredible.
Yeah, he's...
He's not going to be your top six, but he makes possibly the best third-line center in the league.
Oh, he definitely was, for sure. Is he playing... Now, he's not playing third line in Nashville. Is he playing probably second-line minutes?
No, he's up in the second line. And Nashville, with the addition of Turris as well, are lighting it up.
God damn. Like,
they're certainly heading...
Down the middle, what they got fucking... Johansson, Bonino, and Turris?
Yeah, that's just three. Johansson isn't playing, you know, incredible, which he doesn't need to because he has these other two guys that, like, take his minutes, you know?
And then Ryan Ellis coming back here soon. Nashville's going to be something else.
Yep, 100%. They arguably have the best D in the league.
Yeah,
the forward units are just awesome. I would love to see Mike Fisher play one more year, but when your time's up, your time's up. But the goalie, I've been asked this so many times, I've never ever said Pekka is elite.
No.
Pekka is good, but he is not great.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine, exactly.
He's fine.
But when you have that D in front of you, like, if you can stand still, I think you'll stop most of the goals.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Steve Mason might be good in Nashville with that D.
Whoa.
This one comes in from, I'm hoping I say the name right here, Fergal Ruse at Angelo Krog. I don't know what kind of fucking Twitter handle that is, but he asked, who stole your monster?
Yeah, so funny story. So it's Fergal Rush. So I work with Fergal. And yeah, the other day, you know, I had a couple of cans of Monster in the fridge in work, you know, just Monster the energy drink. So someone actually stole the can of Monster from the fridge. Now, we work in an office of a few hundred people.
Oh, shit.
So,
Ben's fighting words.
Yeah, for sure. So I sent down an email to the floor because, I'd be on the intimidating specter because, you know, I'm a guy with a beard, so everyone kind of fears that.
Right.
you talk to me, I'm the most laid-back guy in the world, you know. And it was like, just calling people out, just chirping at them, and I'm like, yeah, if you guys put it back, I'll call off the hit. But if not, you've been warned, you know. But it was pretty funny because we were getting all these new people who have just started, and these are like, you know, 18, 19 year old kids, and they're all nervous to start their new job, and they get an email from this guy,
the fucking big ass bearded dude,
and they're like, oh god. Well, hey, like, my signature is like the ABNT logo, so there is a beard with a skull, you know what I mean? And they're just like, oh, who is this guy? I'm terrified of him already.
Well, that's perfect. Hey, whoever took the beards monster, you're the fuck boy of the week.
Oh, for sure. He's up there with Patrick Laine's beard.
Dude, oh my god. We need to go find him, you and I, and hold him down and shave that fucking monstrosity.
Yeah, I reckon so. Like, to the point, I was watching the Jets game, and I tweeted out directly to him, and I'm like, look, buddy, I never encourage shaving. I hate people that shave, but you need to shave.
If one person on the planet needs to shave, it's that guy, dude. It looks so bad.
It's 100% that guy.
Jam78 Wall asks, do you like a certain ice hockey team from the Garden State? Kind of fitting in with Maddie's question as well.
Yeah, like, you know, and it's obviously like, because I write for the Hockey Writers about the Devils, like, so, you know, that's obviously going to be your go-to. I'm like, but do you want to bring that up now, or will we bring that up in a little while?
No.
What do you think?
We'll bring that up in a little while. Maybe.
All right. We'll still give him a shout out then.
That's a little teaser for here in a minute when history is made.
History is made.
My buddy and your buddy too at the Hockey 411 podcast, and I want to thank him for having me on his show a few months ago. I really had a lot of fun doing the top 10 enforcers in the league right now. But he asked,
and he's like, he's such a nice dude.
He's a sweetheart, man. What are you most excited about when you come to America?
America.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, like, do I only have to pick one thing, or can I pick, like, a few things?
You can do whatever you want, man. It's a free country.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, it's pretty free over here. But more so, I know. I don't think people get upset over here, you know? What am I most excited? I don't know, man. Like, I suppose going to my first NHL game, that's going to be – I can't describe what it's like. My first game is going to be the Flyers and the Devils. Like, you know, dude, you can't get a more intense game than that. Like,
that's crucial.
So, I don't know. Like, you know, hockey's going to be amazing. Meeting people, because I've obviously met a lot of people through ABNT. So getting to meet these people, and that's incredible. As I said earlier, snow.
Yeah,
I'm
dude.
So excited for snow.
For sure. Snow, like, snow is amazing.
So snow's gonna be awesome.
Unless you don't see snow, you can't appreciate it. Like, I have cousins that live in California, and every time they come here, they're just like, it's so. There's nothing more beautiful than an untouched field. Like, because I live in a pretty rural area where you can go drive out and see, you know, a massive amount of acreage that's just covered in snow, and it's. Absolutely gorgeous, and we're fortunate enough here too. I live by a river where a fucking bald eagle has made a nest. So if you can get the chance to see that bald eagle sit in his nest with snow on it, like, you almost like start bleeding red, white, and blue. It's so fucking beautiful.
So, like, that couldn't be more American.
No, it's the most American thing ever. There's like, people will go drive out because it's a lot of people know where the nest is and just sit there, drink beers, and just watch the eagles like sit on their nest. It's awesome.
That is awesome, man. If you're ever out that way, make sure you send me a picture. That's incredible.
Dude, I will send you a picture when we get off of here. And a bald eagle's nest is absolutely fucking massive. It's like the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. Yeah, like, they're huge.
They're massive.
They're huge. Like, I've seen them, like, driving around fucking crushing beers with my buddy back in the day, and, like, just there's just one in the field eating a fucking deer, like, and I'm like, dude, is that a bald eagle? Is that the biggest fucking bird? They're like pterodactyls, basically.
Yeah, but, like, there's a reason that, like, you know, America's native bird isn't, like, a robin redbreast or, like, a crow or something, like, you know.
It should be.
Like, yes, we're the mighty United States of America with this robin redbreast in the background. Like,
Well, dude, I'm really excited. When do you get to come over to the States?
So I land on the 31st of January. So we're very close, man.
Dude, that's super exciting, man. I'm happy. Next time you come over, you got to make a fucking flight to Ohio, dude. I'll come pick your ass up.
Oh, like, there's honestly, when I tweeted out that I was coming to the States, like, the amount of people who have just opened up their homes, opened up their cities, towns, whichever, like, you know, to get me to go there. And I want to go to everything. Basically, if I could fly just one way and just stay there for a while, that'd be fine. Now, I know customs may not agree with that.
Especially right now. With our
but man, we have, I don't know now, so I've never flown to the States, but from Dublin they have all the pre-clearance, so they have the immigration and so on in Dublin airport, so when you get to the States you just get off the plane, get your bags and go. You don't have to go through immigration.
Oh, that's nice.
So yeah, but like they give you a good grilling in Dublin, like it's all like I think you got to go kind of 3-4 hours beforehand and make sure that you answer everything and so on. So obviously I'm going to be going there and I'm like, yeah, I'm going for hockey. That's
yeah.
It. Like.
Yeah. I'm all beard, no teeth. Get the fuck out of my way.
I'm like, look at this. They're just going to go, sir. Go. Jump on the bald eagle. He'll bring you quicker than the plane.
The last time I flew, we went to San Francisco and I went with Artillery Breath to go play a festival out there, and I was surprised at the lack of shit we had to go through, you know, to fly with guitars and all kinds of shit. And like, we're all hung over at like 6 o'clock in the morning, boarding a plane to fly to fucking San Francisco, like ordering beers at 6 o'clock. And it went really well. And I was just surprised. I was like, man, they're going to fucking look at these like six fucking dudes and just be like, y'all need to come in this room and get your buttholes checked.
Assume the position.
Exactly. Rachel_Inez173. She would like to know, when is the next live tweet sunglasses emoji?
So Rachel, she is the beer's leading lady.
She is
an awesome pick.
Mrs.
Yeah,
Beard.
Yeah, she's been one of my like kind of followers for a long time, and we're like, but she's a massive Wild fan. I think her daughter is a massive Pens fan, so it makes her a very interesting household, I believe.
Yeah, that's odd.
I don't know. I really don't. The live tweet, like it's been a while since I've done a live tweet. Honestly, man, like, I've been the busiest person in the world. Like, I really miss it, so I owe her a Wild game. I really do. So honestly, it's gonna be soon. Now, obviously, we're heading to the States in a couple of weeks, so it may not be until kind of. Well, I don't know if I can squeeze one in before we go. That'd be great, but more than likely, it's looking like after the States. So that's probably kind of the end of February, which is a bit of a ways away. So yeah, I will keep you posted. I'm going to try my best to do it beforehand. If not, it will be after. And Wild 100% is going to be one of the first ones, if good. Not the first one.
And I think I speak for, you know, or I don't, I'm going to speak for all the Biscuit Babies and say we do love your live tweets, man. It's the only thing I can read live tweet-wise during a hockey game, because it usually gets just so fucking negative with people live tweeting games that I really appreciate your work when you do it, that you stay very, you know, on point, not going either way objectively, and just do a good job and keep it light and keep it fun and very informative. I think your work that you do on the live tweets is the best live tweeting hockey wise period.
That honestly means a lot to me, buddy. Like, thank you so much, dude. Like, it's a thing that I kind of wanted to do, because obviously we've gotten this far. The beard's almost a year old, which is incredible. But like, I didn't want to just at day one say I'm such and such a fan, because then you immediately shut yourself off to so many fans.
Oh yeah,
and they were like, but I wanted to. So I've honestly for the last 20 years followed the likes of Bob McKenzie, and I'm like, Elliot Friedman, like Nick Kiprios, like John Shannon, like I love all these guys. Like, I love everything TSN Sportsnet do. And I'm like, So I follow a lot of that, and they never ever allude to the fact that they're a fan of such and such team.
Right.
And even, like, I listen to the Bobcast, and Bob McKenzie says outright that he doesn't have a team, you know? So that's obviously because he's been in the game so long that you are objective the entire time, so mm-hmm. you don't end up favoring one team, you know? So even with over here, we have my boy Aaron Murphy. He does the games for, like, the KHL, the SHL, and so on. Like, but he, again, he used to be a fan of a team way back when, but now he doesn't really because, like, yeah, you stay objective. So even for myself, I'm still a massive fan of the team we will find out soon. But, like, if you had asked, like, 2 years ago, so before ABNT, I would have been way, way bigger fan, you know? Because,
well, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's you... You know, like, I don't think I knew any Blue Jackets fans until I met you, and I don't think I knew any Wild fans until I met Rachel, and I don't, you know, like, you meet all these kind of different teams, and again, it's just, like, how awesome these people are, because they have their different stories, their different, like, ideas on teams, but again, it all gets left on the ice. They just are there for the stories, or in our case, buddy, like, we're here for the beers after, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think we, you know, I'd like to take a moment too and just, you know, especially thank, and probably yourself too, you know, everybody that has contacted, you know, the Biscuit or All Beers No Teeth over the past couple of years and this tight community that has been built around, you know, specifically Twitter that, you know, where I consider you a good buddy of mine, Fourth Line Voice, Shane Guilfoyle, a lot of these people that I have met through Twitter and had conversations with,
100%.
You know, has been remarkable. It's a very big part of my life that I do this show and that I talk hockey with these you guys. And then, but then the point you talk about too, you know, everybody knows I'm a Blue Jackets fan, but if you listen to early Biscuit episodes, they're very specific to Columbus. But now I'm trying. I'm trying my best to be. You know, even if something bad happens to the Blue Jackets, I'll talk about it. You know, Boone Jenner got a fuckboy of the week a couple weeks ago. You know, you kind of have to get away from it to do your best work. You know, I do root for the Blue Jackets. But if I would have started this podcast 3 years ago, it would have just been like, fuck you, fuck everyone else, yeah. Go Blue Jackets. There's
for sure.
And if you want that shit, it's out there. There are very team-specific podcasts for every single team.
Yeah.
You know, I've spoke to a bunch of them, you know, during the team previews. So it's not – that's not what I want to do, and I know that's not what you want to do. But we are going to get that guy.
Yeah, no, I get that. Like, but I remember, like, even before I was on the podcast the last time, I remember I was talking to you and, you know, I think it was the kind of first time I had listened to the Biscuit, like, because as I said previously, you were the first podcast I got into.
Thanks, bud.
It was the case. So I said, yeah, you can tell you're a Blue Jackets fan. And I was like, but you kind of recognized at that stage that that wasn't all you wanted to be known as, you know?
No, so, yeah, like, that's a great point. Yeah, we did have that conversation. And that, you know, that's the thing about, like, you know, this hockey family that we have, too, where it was like, you had mentioned, you know, you wouldn't say your team. I was like, well, man, that's a great point. And, like, I need to kind of step more broadly, cover more leagues, and even women's hockey and things of that nature, because I'm a fan of the sport, period. Yeah, if you come, to my house and the Blue Jackets are on, we're not watching anything else. But, you know, that's not the point of the podcast, you know?
Yeah, like, it's a thing, like, you know, yeah, so the way I looked at it, and I was like, yeah, I could run, like, my team's Twitter page, you know, and I was like, I'd probably get, like, the traction of those fans, and I'm like, nah, but I love the game of hockey, like, be it whatever team, I do not care, as long as they're playing hockey, I'm happy, so I want to run a hockey page.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, if I was, like, you know, if I'm a Bruins fan, and I only talk about the Bruins, well, I've already shut off the market for the likes of the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens.
Right.
And it was like, if I'm an Oilers fan, then I've already shut off the market for the Flames and the Canucks. And I'm like, you know, so it kind of, you know, like, I don't want to be about that. It's just like, even when I say my team, like, I'm not going to change how I run things. And, you know, I'm still going to be that objective person.
And there's a...
And, like, one of the points from the last one... Sorry, buddy, go ahead.
No, go for it, mate.
Oh, sorry, I was just saying, one of the points from the last time we spoke, like, if I'm tweeting my team for a live tweet, I always switch to the other channel. And it was just like, and that's something that you really liked. And I think that's something that's really crucial, because you don't get influenced by, you know, oh, they scored, you know, there's no like hyper kind of emotions and so on. You know?
Exactly. And like I said, there's, I mean, I listen to one of my favorite broadcasters, Bob McGilligott, who covers the Blue Jackets, and he runs a podcast. And, you know, it's strictly Blue Jackets talk for a half an hour every couple of days. And I love it. I'm glad he does it. I'm glad guys like Mark Alfred run the Black and Gold podcast. There are definitely spots for those to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's great. Sure. It's great that you have avenues like All Beards, No Teeth, or you can listen to CBJ in 30 or the Black and Gold podcast or the Rinkcast with the Blackhawk guys. It's incredible that you can do both, and that's what I try to split my time between Blue Jackets specific times, and then I'll listen to Spit and Chicklets, or you know, the new one that everybody's talking about now is 31 Thoughts with Merrick and Friedman.
Oh,
so yeah. You know, it really is a good time to be a hockey fan, especially podcast wise. Do you listen to any other hockey podcasts?
Yeah, so So the only podcasts I ever listen to are hockey podcasts. I don't listen to any other.
A man after my own heart.
I'm not one for kissing asses, like, but you know, I listen to you, buddy, and then I listen to. So obviously, I'm a massive Bob McKenzie fan, so I listen to the Bobcast.
Yes.
I like TSN. Well, I love TSN, so I listen to James Duthie's Rubber Boots podcast. That's incredible. If you haven't checked it out. I absolutely love Spit and Chicklets. Like, how you don't like those guys, hashtag not a big deal. Not a big deal.
I was so happy.
I've gotten my girl saying not a big deal now. It's hilarious.
I was so happy to get Mike Grinnell on, man. He just killed it on the podcast. It sucked. I had so much technical difficulties with him, but he killed it.
Yeah. But like Grinnelli's incredible. Like, you know, he puts together that show, you know, like, so yeah, you got Witt and RA, and I was like, but yeah, Grinnelli's a cool dude, and like, especially with the World Juniors, like, he really was kind of crushing it. He really did. So yeah, I listened to that, and then yeah, like, Freege is like a massive, like, I really like everything Freege does, and like, he's a massive like, part of the reason why I want to be a hockey kind of reporter or a hockey insider, if you will.
Yeah, in my opinion, he's the best doing it. He really is the best doing it. Yeah,
so he's honestly incredible. So the whole thing, and I've tweeted him out quite a bit, and I'm like, when are you starting a podcast, man? And he does that 31 Thoughts all the time, and I'm like, oh, he finally has a podcast, him and Marek, like, so... I do have a list of them. Then the likes of the Hockey 411. I've been on to Darren of Southpaw, and I'm like, dude, sort your shit out. Like, he's telling me about YouTube, and I'm like, come on, like, you know, like, so no, I do, like, all I listen to is hockey. Like, so if people have podcasts, definitely send them my way. And like, I got connected with a guy, 5 Minute Major, Travi, like, in New York.
Uh-huh.
I'm hopefully going to meet up with him when I'm over. And like, so I'm honestly, like, I'm up for, you know, listen, if you're talking about hockey, I want to listen to it. I'm not up for these one-sided. If I want to go listen to, you know, a Stars podcast, I'll listen to that. But yeah. I want to listen to a podcast about hockey.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Mike Giannone 7, I think, is his fucking name. You guys got to get better fucking Twitter handles, man, or better last names. I can't fucking read this shit, especially 6 Labatt's in. But and this is going to lead into a segment that we're going to do before the unveiling of your favorite team. Are you ready?
Okay. Right, go on, shoot it.
Oh, want to know your take on the teams for the hashtag NHL All-Star? And would you have, and who would you have made your selections? So
okay, so all right, go on.
I'm gonna shoot down each roster for the team, and you tell me if you agree or if you got this. I mean, I've got some snubs. I'm sure you got some snubs, and we'll get it going. Atlantic roster, you have Alexander Barkov, Jack Eichel from Buffalo. Barkov, obviously, from Florida, sorry. Nikita Kucherov, Tampa Bay, the host of the All-Star game this year. Brad Marchand from Boston. Austin, the fucking American Matthews for Toronto. Stephen Stamkos, you're voted in captain for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Victor Hedman, who will not be appearing in the game, unfortunately, because he just put in his 4 to 6 weeks IR.
Yep.
Eric Karlsson, Ottawa. Mike Green from Detroit.
Yeah. Hey, dreams can come true, man.
Oh, dude, we're both fucked if Laura listens to this. Carey Price from Montreal, and Andre Vasilevsky from Tampa Bay, head coached by John Cooper, of course. This team is the one I agreed with the most out of the four teams. Obviously, if you don't know how the All-Star game works, you have a team from each division. It's 3v3 and tournament style. You play, go on, so forth. What do you think of the Atlantic roster?
So I hands down think the Atlantic has the strongest roster. I think they're absolutely stacked. I have a few snubs that, like, now they're made a little bit easier. Like, you lose a guy like Hedman, you can't really replace him.
Right.
Now, a couple of guys that, you know, you can throw in there, but, you know, they're not Hedman. But
Who do you think's going to replace Hedman? If you have to go, I mean, maybe they do Girardi because he's from Tampa Bay too. I thought maybe Chara goes. I think if Charlie McAvoy had a better second, like the last couple, like month and a half, he would go. But I really think Morgan Rielly deserves to go.
You've named two of my three people. hands down, I'm a massive Morgan Rielly fan. I think he's a good player. Like, he's gotten a bit of heat for the last couple of games, but, you know, you don't throw that on one guy. Morgan Rielly's one of the guys. Torrey Krug as well. Torrey Krug is having a great season.
Yes, he is.
Charlie McAvoy, again, like, he's a great story, and I'm like, but as you said, he's kind of slowed down a little bit. He's a great guy, and he's going to have a phenomenal career.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, I'd go for Morgan Rielly, but I put it between Morgan Rielly and Torgi Krug. Like, there's not much between them, but, like, Rielly and Krug for sure.
Right. I agree, man. And I thought for a second you would see maybe Evander Kane over Jack Eichel until I really started looking at the numbers. And then you figure out, if you're not voted in, the teams are sending people. So they're not going to send a dude that he is definitely getting traded. So he's not going to get that marker.
Yeah.
And Eichel is better.
I'm a big fan of Eichel. I think he's incredible. But there is a guy I would prefer to see there other than Eichel.
Who?
I'm quite shocked he didn't get a place because he is the reason this team is up there, you know? How Mark Stone isn't involved in that team is beyond me, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, if you do that, then who do you send from Buffalo? You know, the politics of it, you know, each team has to be represented at least once. So if Eichel doesn't go, you're like, well, fuck.
Buffalo really doesn't have any feel-good stories. Like, you
know, no, it's pretty much Eichel or nothing, really.
pretty much. Like, man, did you hear, like, you know, that whole Robin Lehner thing? Did you hear all about that? You were like that whole where he's convinced there's a stereotype and like a conspiracy against Buffalo.
Yes, Robin Leonard is a fucking psycho, and I love it.
It's amazing. But goaltenders should be psychos.
I love that he thinks that there's a conspiracy against Buffalo sports. It's incredible. Good for him.
It's amazing. I love everything about it.
He's not the best goalie in the world, but he's fun as fuck to watch because he'll just lose his fucking mind, snap his stick, fucking talking about conspiracies. I guarantee he thinks Bigfoot's real. Like, I love him.
don't forget about Ilya Brizgalov, man. You know, like, I love that dude.
He is.
He wasn't the best goalie, but wow, he's the funniest person ever.
Leonard is pretty much the closest thing since Ilya left, you know?
I reckon so.
So I agree pretty much with the Atlantic. There's not too much, you know, Hedman leaving you. I'd really like to see Morgan Riley get in there. I really think he deserves it.
Yeah, for sure.
So the Central, I'm going to go the Central next. I'm going alphabetical order on you, man. The ABCs.
All right.
Patty Kane from Chicago making his 7th appearance. Nathan MacKinnon from Colorado. Braden Schenn from St. Louis. Tyler Seguin, Dallas. Eric Staal, Minnesota. Blake motherfucking Wheeler from Winnipeg. John, I should win the Norris, but I won't because they'll give it to Drew Doughty Klingberg. Alexander Petrangelo. Fucking PK Subban. He can not play and he's going to make the fucking All-Star game. He's voted in as the captain. Connor the American Hollebeck. And Pekka Rinne, head coached by Peter Laviolette for his 3rd appearance as a coach in the All-Star game. I've got a couple problems with this roster. Do you?
There's kind of like a couple of things that I've kind of had an issue with, and like, again, it's that the Central. There's too many good players. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so it's a tough kind of thing to put your fangs into. You know, so honestly, as goalies go, I don't think, like, and I've already said I'm not a Pekka Rinne fan, but I don't think there is two better goalies than Hellebuck and Rinne in that division. And we're like, just how they're playing, and we're like, they're playing well, you know, and like, hey, credit's given where credit's due.
Let me shoot a name at you. I know he hasn't played that much, but I think Carter Hutton
might. I thought he was going to come off, because he, according to NHL, and I've seen a lot of games he's played, he has the best save percentage in the league. Now, granted, he hasn't played the number of games that, like, the other guys have played, but Carter Hutton has looked well. Like, he's looked good.
Save percentage and goals against, man, number one, but he has looked good. But then you got to go against Pekka Rinne has, like, the second most wins or whatever with 21 wins. So it's like, you know, he's going.
Yeah, no, he is going. I'm pretty happy with the goaltenders. Yeah, like, Carter Hutton's going to be in there before Jake Allen. I think Hellebuck and Rinne is no problem sending those guys.
Now,
D-Man? I think D-Man's a lock as well, though, buddy, you know?
Definitely Klingberg, definitely Petrangelo. PK is the only one I think that would be not in there, but he got voted in by the fans and his PK. And he's good for the All-Star game because he has a personality, and there are politics to be played here.
Now,
as far as the forwards go, I don't think Patty Kane deserves to go. But then there's this, like we had just spoke about, is you have to send somebody from Chicago, and there's not goddamn anybody else you can send.
No one.
So he's in. So, if you could send somebody that wouldn't be from Chicago, and I think Jaden Schwartz has had a good first half, and I would like to see him play in there. But like you said, you just can't do it because you got to send somebody from Chicago, and it has to be Patrick Kane at this point.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone else that they can throw in there. Like, I'm all right with Kane. MacKinnon, I'm delighted with, because that guy has had an incredible season.
Oh,
yeah, I know the abs aren't up there, but like, the guy is filthy.
52 points, man. Second in the fucking league. He's killing it.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He's really really flourished after Dickhead left, Duchesne.
Poor Duchesne. Like, he's gone from bad to worse. Like, it just doesn't work for him. I'm like, I like Duchesne, and purely for, you know, if you play an NHL game and you're Team Canada, you have Matt Duchesne on any line, you basically can outskate the world because he's literally the fastest guy in the world.
Yeah, like, no shit.
And I'm like, what? But you watch him play, and I'm like, hey, he's a good player, but he just needs that right situation, and unfortunately, Ottawa is not it.
No.
And but,
no.
In terms of, there's two players, like, I don't know who you'll substitute them for, but there's two players that stand out here for me for, you know, Stubbs or the Central. Tarasenko, hands down.
Oh, yeah. Don't have Vladimir for Tarasenko sure, man. Involved.
I'm like, I just do not know. Brayden Schenn is having an absolute incredible year, but how you do not have Vladimir Tarasenko involved is beyond me.
What I imagine is Tarasenko didn't want to go, so the team was like, hey, please don't take Tarasenko. We'll give you Brayden Schenn.
Yeah, maybe. But also Rantanen from the Avs, like, he's having a killer year as well.
Yeah, he has.
He would have been sweet to go see. Like, and yeah, like, for you know, you got to give it to Eric Staal. Like, you know, he's putting up the points and stuff. You, like, honestly, I don't know where the subtractions are going to be. The Central is stacked. Like, it's so hard to move kind of pieces in that. Like.
Yeah, I think definitely Tarasenko. He might be the biggest snub of all of them. I completely forgot about him. That's because he's had, I mean, MVP caliber season so far.
Yeah, but he's just that type of player. He's unbelievable.
Really is. Are you ready for the Metro, my man?
Bring it on, buddy.
The Metro. Josh Bailey from the New York Islanders. Sid the Kid, who's probably so pissed off he got selected from Pittsburgh. Claude Giroux from Philly. Taylor Hall from your supposed New Jersey Devils. Ovi makes his 7th appearance from Washington. I was surprised that it's only Sidney's 3rd selection. I know he tries to get
he's
hurt.
Always injured, isn't he?
he does it on purpose because he doesn't want to fucking go to the All-Star game. Jonathan, so far, my MVP in the season, Tavares, New York Islanders, his 5th selection. Noah Hanifin, no-brainer for Carolina. Seth Jones for Columbus? Okay. Chris, I have no reason to be here. Letang from Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Brandon Holtby, and then the only person who could go for New York, in my opinion, is Henrik Lundqvist. And then the coach, Barry Trotz, with his 3rd appearance. I think
Barry Trotz. Yeah, not a fair point.
This has the most snubs out of it, in my opinion.
There's a few issues with this roster.
Chris Letang is the biggest issue, in my opinion, out of the whole All-Star game.
I've been a big fan of Tanger, like, I really have, but nah, he hasn't done much this year, but, like, there's better D-men available. Like, there just is. Like,
John Carlson?
How is John Carlson not on that team? Like, I honestly have no idea.
No one has any idea. John Carlson definitely deserves to be there. He's the best defenseman in the Metro, period. And he just didn't get it?
100%. He is the best team man in the Metro. I have no clue how he got there. Now, with the All-Star, as I tweeted out last night, it's quite, you know, I suppose, like, it's quite common that, like, all these players tend to just get random injuries, you know, LBIs and UBIs, they're like just over the All-Star, but they're fine for the next game, like, after it, you know.
Well, they incorporated that Sidney Crosby rule, so now if you get hurt before the All-Star game and don't go if you're selected, you have to sit out a game after the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So
that's good, but I reckon, so, yeah, like, we lost Hedman. I reckon Hedman's actually injured because he's not the type of guy to just say, oh, I'm not playing this.
And he's 4 to 6 weeks, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, so, you've listened to the show. I called this. There's always a slew of injuries before the All-Star game. Sidney Crosby.
Always.
Like, Sidney Crosby will not go. He will not be there.
I'll be shocked if Sid goes. Honestly, I'll be shocked.
I'll be shocked, too. And he shouldn't even be there anyhow. There's a dude on his team that should be going over him. And for whatever reason, the NHL hates him. I've grown to love him. I used to hate him too. Phil the fucking Thrill Kessel.
He'll bring hot dogs and everything, man.
Dude, more points in Sydney, more assists in Sydney, the most power play points in the fucking league.
So I completely, like, so I only have one guy for the Metro to miss from the D, but I completely agree with you from the forwards. Like, Kessel, how he's not in there is beyond me. But the other guy I also am Korean, why he's not there, is Jake Voracek. How is he not involved?
I was a little shocked by him, too. You know, he's got a shit ton of apples over there. And
sure.
But it's that fucking the politics. You know, is he better than Claude right now? I don't know. It's close. You could ascend either
way.
It's
very close. Claude has the name. That's the thing. Like,
yeah. Yeah, Claude's probably better on the mic for him, or for whatever reason. And then I would definitely love to see Sergei Bobrovsky there. He's had a rougher last month, but I mean, you don't have another Ranger to send, so there's nothing you can do about
it. Yeah, like Bob is also on my list here. I'm like, it sucks that Bob's not there, but as you said, there's no one else to send from the Rangers. I'm delighted, and I've gotten a lot of kind of I suppose, like, comments are better, like sending Josh Bailey. I'm stoked that Josh Bailey is there. He 100% deserves to be there. Like, yeah, he's had an incredible season.
The argument I see with him is Anders Lee. I'm happy for Bailey. Yeah. I would have been happy for Anders. Either way, I think one of the two definitely deserves to be there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, 100%. Like, they're not good enough to send all three.
Right.
Like, you know, because Tavares is going either way. Like,
right. And if it was, if the game was
Bailey or Anders Lee again.
If the game was in New York, all three would be going. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but it's in Tampa, so obviously you got to go Tampa heavy on this one.
Right. Pacific. Brock Besser, Vancouver, first selection, probably going to win the Calder. Johnny Hockey from Calgary going. Anze Kopitar somehow goes. Connor McJesus. James, the real deal, Neil going for Vegas. Ricard Raquel, Brett Burns, Drew Doughty, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, The Flower from Vegas, Jonathan Quick, head coached by Gerard Gallant. Not bad. Not bad team.
I have a couple of things that might be introduced in this team, and honestly, like, the way you read that, it's pretty much word for word for what I wrote down. I'm absolutely stoked for Brock Besser. Like, he deserves to be there. Johnny Hockey, like, again, I agree with you in Kopitar. Kopitar is a great guy, but he's not having a great season.
What the fuck is he doing there?
Yeah, no idea. James, the real deal, Neil. I'm stoked he's there. Raquel, he's having a good season as well. Burns, Doughty, OEL, like, you know, you're not going to get three better D-men than those guys, like, so they deserve to be there. Fleury and Quick, like, so honestly, I have three guys that, like, you know, I could easily put in there. How Jonathan Marchessault is not in that lineup is beyond me.
Right.
I'm like, he's the Knights' leading goal scorer, like, leading point getter. Like, how he isn't in there is, like, I've no idea. I'd put him in for Kopitar, and hands down, no problem.
You know, the one I had in for Kopitar is William Karlsson from Vegas, too. I wouldn't – him or Marchessault, I think, deserve it over Kopitar.
Yeah.
I think Arizona could have easily sent Clayton Keller as well.
Clayton Keller, yeah.
And I think Calgary's Monahan deserved a look at, too.
Sean Monahan, yeah, for sure. Sean Monahan's had a good year.
But Kopitar –
but even, like, in the
– shoot, bud.
Sorry, go on, dude.
No, I think Kopitar is the biggest, like, saying, yeah, what the fuck is Kopitar doing there?
I'm no clue. Like, again, it's that name carrying, you know? Like, he's a great player, don't get me wrong. Like, Kopitar is amazing, but he's just not happened that year. So, yeah, if you're going to send someone, you're already sending Doughty, so you're represented. Like, I don't think the Kings have the players to send two people. Like, they're all great, but they're very much so playing as a team rather than individuals. And
they're
like,
they're sending fucking three.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, like, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, and the one thing as well that I'm not entirely sold on, I don't know how they're sending Fleury. Like, I would 100% be Mike Smith.
Yeah.
Mike Smith from Calgary has played well this year.
Yeah, I agree,
but
too.
He's getting no credit whatsoever, man.
Well, Beard, to go back to Jam78 Waz question, do you like a certain ice hockey team from the Garden State? Now, I have a few questions before you answer. because I want to try to pinpoint this here and give you my guess. Why do you like the Baltimore Ravens?
So I got into football a good few years after I got into hockey, and the Ravens thing, I think was from the logo. I honestly can't remember the specifics. I think it was from the logo, and I remember they weren't very good, which, you know, they're not very good now. I'm a pure underdog guy. I'm not that Glory fan, you know, that everyone jumps on board. And then I got involved with the whole Ray Lewis aspect, you know. Then there was
murderer.
A few other players that are. I'm not going to say that. There was a few other players that I kind of liked, you know, and then as the years kind of went on, we had Doug Martin and so on. And it was I just really liked them. And I still, every single year, I have 3 or 4 Ravens jerseys inside, and I'm a massive Ravens fan. And then, when I see them play some days, I'm wondering, why? Why am I still a Ravens
fan? That's when you know you're a real fan.
Probably about 2 years ago, some guy came over to me and he was just like, "Oh, you're Ravens. You're such a Glory fan." I'm like, "What Ravens are you following?" I was like, "I want to follow that Ravens."
Now, what was the first hockey video game you played? Do you recall?
Oh, hands down, NHL 94.
94. 100%. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I never owned it. It was in one of my buddy's houses. So I would have been, I would have been 7 at the time.
On the Sega Genesis?
Yeah. Huh?
On the Sega Genesis?
No, we had the Super Nintendo, it was on that.
Okay.
So it was, that is my earliest kind of memory of playing. It was on the Nintendo. Sorry, I'm trying to confuse it with a different game. So that was my earliest memory of playing an actual hockey game, but I didn't immediately get into hockey. Sure, I loved it, but I didn't follow it because obviously I was 7, so I couldn't stay up all night watching the games, you know.
It is, your team is not an original 6 team, is it?
I will 100% say that it is not.
Okay. Now,
I feel like we're playing beard bingo or something.
Hashtag beard bingo.
Yeah. Are you going to shout bingo when I say
bingo? Now, with this, I would say, and the most obvious would be the New Jersey Devils, but I don't think it's the New Jersey Devils. I think that you are a New York Rangers fan.
So is this a yes or no question, or do I have to go into an explanation?
No. We all know you write for the Hockey Writers for the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
Now, this is my opinion. I think you chose them because you could write about them objectively. Now, everybody thinks, and I did at one point too, because they were your favorite team. If I have to pick a team, but you said it's not an original 6, you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. Sir, the beard, the biggest moment in the biscuit history, who is your favorite NHL team? I say the Penguins.
That's honestly I've been trying not to give it away for a while, as you know, but I'm delighted to tell you because, as I said, you gave me my first shot at a podcast, and honestly, you were the first podcast I listened to, so I'm stoked that this is going out.
Oh, God, I'm so excited.
So, here we go, guys. You should have stuck to your original theory, my friend.
Oh!
The beard is 100% a New Jersey Devils fan.
It's because they're the Devils in the fucking logo, isn't it? You son of a bitch.
There you go. You got it, man.
Ah, God damn it, dude. I was like, well, that's too obvious. Maybe I'm fucking wrong, man.
And it's like, I've driven people crazy with this as well. They're like, no, it couldn't be. Because, with AB&T, as I said, the whole thing, I wanted to remain objective about it. But then, like, obviously when I got the hockey writer's gig and I'm like, I'm writing about the Devils, then it kind of reappeared. Right. And then it was just like, no, that's too obvious.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, maybe it's not.
Yeah.
So people start to overthink it.
Ah, shit, dude.
But yeah, like, I honestly, like, yeah, so as I was saying earlier, like, you know, if you had asked me a few years ago what my team was compared to now, like, it's still the exact same, but obviously I was way more passionate a few years ago because now I've become a lot more objective. But, yeah, you know, don't get me wrong, like, I'm still a diehard New Jersey Devils fan.
Well, that makes sense because the jerseys were pretty mean in the mid-90s too with Scott Stevens and them boys.
He's my boy.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, Beard, I cannot thank you enough for coming on, man. This has been absolutely amazing. I fucking knew it was New Jersey. It's like my playoff picks. You always stick with your gut, man. Always.
Yeah, stick with your gut, man. That's your lesson from today. Always stick with your gut.
I love you, man. Tell the Biscuit Babies where to find you, buddy.
Yeah, so again, like, you can find me on Twitter. Like, that's basically where I live. It's basically, so at ABNT Hockey. You can email me. Still no one emails me because I think we're moving away from that culture.
paulbeardnoteeth@gmail.com.
And again, like, I'm on the Hockey Writers because they're just the best team you can possibly have. And I'm like, so just check out the Hockey Writers. I won't give them my individual link. You're like, just check out the Hockey Writers, whichever team you follow.
Beautiful.
Again, if you want to check out any of the guys, certainly shoot me a recommendation. I can point you in the way, but every single one of them are incredible.
It's true. And, you know, you get love from Fourth Line Voice, and he hates Hockey Writers, man. And I appreciate you. I love everything you're doing over there at All Beers No Teeth. Definitely get back on the live tweeting, my man.
For sure. It's on my list, and, like, I definitely owe Rachel a Wild game anyway. Maybe we can get Wild and Blue Jackets. We'll see what's going on.
She wouldn't like that because they'll get their ass kicked.
Cool.
All right, I love you, buddy. Thank you so much for your time.
No, it was a pleasure, buddy. Thanks so much for having me, all right? Yep, take care of yourself, buddy.
Yep, you have a good day.
You too. Enjoy sleeping outside because the Red Wings are gonna lose. See you later, my friend.
All right, bye-bye, man.
Bye-bye.
How many fucks do I give? How many fucks do I give?